I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach this morning, and I like talking about the Word of God. So if you don't like what goes on for the next half an hour or so, blame Pastor Leon over there. Take it up with him. All right, if you would stand, please, we'll read Matthew first. Matthew chapter 8. We'll begin reading in verse 5. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers unto me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. And then flip over to Hebrews. Chapter 10, verse 38. We're reading the last couple of verses of chapter 10 and a couple of verses in chapter 11. Hebrews 10, 38. "But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." And then skip down to verse 11, verse 6, chapter 6, verse 11. Chapter 11, verse 6. Yeah, I'll get it right sometime here. Chapter 11, verse 6, important verse. "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, that we can read it without having to be concerned about the military or the government coming in and arresting us. Thank you for the freedom that we have in this country to come together at church here, at this meeting place. Lord, I ask that the next few moments that we spend together would honor your name and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We live in a society where the word faith is tossed around a lot, not just in church, but in the government worlds. You hear government leaders talking about faith-based initiatives or faith-based organizations, or people in the business world talking about having faith in the company or something like that, we've also heard about faith-based movies. What does that make you think of? It's probably a safe movie for a Christian to watch. Oh, I can probably bring my kids to it. Probably some good, decent, nothing bad. Faith-based. What does that mean? Of course, we hear it in church, right? Faith. So what is faith? What is this spiritual faith? Christian faith. What does it mean when a person is faithful? Or what does it mean when a person has great faith? Let's read this together, please. Hebrews 11:6, together. "And without faith it is to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." So we let a little definition of faith in the few verses we read in Hebrews. But if I was to ask you, if I was to ask everybody, how would you define faith? Most of you would give out a word or two or a synonym, and you'd probably be pretty accurate. We'd probably all come to a very similar conclusion. That's probably a safe assumption, right? Most of us have a pretty good idea of faith. But if we really wanted to know what faith is, wouldn't it be a good idea to go to the source? That's what we're going to do this morning. In this portion of the Bible, there's a man that Jesus describes as having great faith. What does the first phrase say up there? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. To please God, we must have great faith. So, let's jump in here. So, in Matthew, describes this happening. To understand this guy a little bit more, we need to understand or get a better light on the subject. Okay, so follow me for a minute. Who, at this point in history, was the number one person in the world? And actually, for all of history, is... Come on now. J-E-S-U-S. Jesus. Thank you, Mark. Okay, so we have Jesus, and we have Matthew, Mark. We have four men who wrote or recorded the happenings of Jesus while he was here on earth. We call them the four Gospels, right? So they all wrote about Jesus and his life and what he did from a little different perspective. So Matthew and Luke record this. So to get a better idea, we're going to go to Luke, okay? So keep your finger in Matthew 8 and flip over to Luke chapter 7 because this is a sister passage. Luke chapter 7. Now, I'm going to point out something that I think is very fascinating and interesting. Luke chapter 7. Let's go down to verse 3. When the centurion heard about Jesus, what did he do? He sent elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his servant. So now go back to Matthew. Keep your finger in Luke and go back to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. A centurion came forward and he came to Jesus and said, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed. So what's going on here? Matthew says that the guy went directly to Jesus. Luke says he sent some other people. So what's going on here? You say, well, that's a conflict. No, not really. Here's what's going on. Have you heard the phrase, he who does a thing through himself, through another, does it himself? So it's kind of like this centurion sent these Jewish leaders, kind of like in proxy, okay? Now give me an example. When Jesus was whipped or scourged, the Bible says that Pilate whipped Jesus. Now, did Pilate really actually whip Jesus? No. What did he do? He had somebody say, hey, you. Somebody who's stronger, younger, etc., with more power probably, you whip, you do that. You do the work. It's the same idea. This man sent other people, and Matthew just kind of skips that detail because Matthew takes the conclusion that these people represented this centurion. Okay, you follow that? All right, so let's continue. Now let's go back and let's think about this guy here. This centurion, okay, he was in charge of how many men? 100, good. Century, 100, good. Okay, so he had 100 men underneath him. A Roman military officer, probably stationed in the town of Capernaum there. And he would be like, I would picture him to be like a chief of police type of a guy. Okay? How would you envision this man? I envision him as somebody who's strong, tall. And I told everybody in the first service, I think most people are tall. Anyway. So, well-seasoned. He knows what to do. Experience. We're going to find out shortly that this guy was well-liked. He was respected. He was generous. He's probably well off. Probably very cold-hearted toward people below him, calloused to things, not very sensitive. Does that, you agree, probably? Probably a military guy like that? Yeah. But that's not the case with this guy. This guy was unusual. Jesus says he had great faith. Now, if you think about it, this guy probably had no, follow me here, this guy probably had no reason to go to church, to go to the synagogue, whatever it was called back then. He didn't have a lot of need to have faith in Jesus Christ. Just be honest here, right? He had what he needed. He had 100 guys at that moment could be right there with him, protecting him, doing whatever he wanted. But this guy's different. Jesus says, I have not seen such great faith. This guy has more faith than people in the church. We need to look at this guy, don't we? We need to look at this guy to find out what made this guy so unique and so special. All right, so let's jump in. Some character traits of this guy. We're in Luke, so we're going to go back to Luke chapter 7 if you're not already there. Number one, he had courage, or he showed courage. Verse 3 of chapter 7. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent him elders of the Jews and asked him to come and heal his servant. So this guy, think about it. Try to put yourself in his shoes, okay? He probably trying to impress his Roman peers, trying to take control or maintain stability of the Jewish group, but yet Jesus says he has faith, great faith in Jesus. So this guy has got it coming from both sides. But yet, what's going on? He is completely focused on his servant, okay? He didn't have to, but he was. So he's got a lot of conflict mentally going on in his head, but what does he do? He doesn't worry. He doesn't concern himself with what his Roman peers and his friends are thinking or saying. He doesn't worry about what these other people in the crowd are thinking about or maybe whatever. No, he's thinking about his servant. He was courageous. What made him different? Jesus nailed it. His faith, his great faith, made him different. Gave him courage to step out of his comfort zone and not worry about what other people are thinking and follow Jesus. Now, we can apply this to ourselves, right? We're at work. We're at a whatever volunteer organization that we're a part of, or wherever we are. And do you care so much about yourself that you don't have courage to show faith? Think about that. Number two, he showed compassion. Now, this is pretty obvious here. Verse 2, he showed compassion. Verse 2, a centurion had a servant who was sick at the point of death and was highly valued by him. The King James Version says that this disease was called palsy. Now, if Dr. Neal was up here, he'd probably give a nice, good, accurate definition of what that is, but I really don't know. But from what I read, something along the lines of some type of paralysis, epilepsy, some type of reaction, and it was so bad, Luke was a doctor, by the way, in case you didn't know that, and Luke says that this man was sick and at the point of death. He was ready to die. The King James Version said that this guy was grievously tormented. But this man valued his servant. Keep in mind, a military guy, 100 men underneath him. Does this man really need a sick servant? He could have easily said, just let him die. I'll get another one. I got 100 other guys who can take his place. Did he do that? No, he had compassion. What was different about this guy? It was his great faith. It was his great faith. When our faith increases, we have compassion for other people. If you don't have compassion for other people, I would challenge you to consider if your faith is not strong enough. You know, I've read stories, and some of you perhaps, about people that minister to the homeless, the down and outers, the poor people, those smelly people, the ones that you don't want to get near, they're dirty. Go down to New York City or even Providence. My uncle does a lot in Providence with homeless people. And you know what? They go right up and give them hugs. It's amazing. You know, I go up to, I smell like beer and all that smelly, they haven't showered in weeks. But these people, they go right up and they give them hugs. How are you, brother? Oh, man, I just love you. And they just love all over them. Faith. Faith to get you to see beyond the natural and to take on the spiritual and see the world that way. Compassion for others. Faith. Number three, this centurion guy, what made him have such great faith? Well, he was well respected. He had a good reputation. Look at verse 4. Now, keep in mind, these Jewish leaders are the ones that that this centurion sent to Jesus, okay? And they are talking to Jesus, and there's four. They came to Jesus, and what do? They pleaded with him earnestly, saying, he, the centurion, is worthy to have you do this for him. That tells me that they liked him. He had a good reputation. He wasn't just respected by his Roman peers, his Roman friends, but he was also well respected and had a good reputation of the Jewish group. What was different about this centurion? His faith. Without faith, it is not possible to please God. So when you're at work, folks, or when you're at some other place, wherever, in your community, what type of reputation do you have? How do people know you? Listen carefully. If people do not respect you, they will very likely not respect your faith in God. Right? They're very likely not going to respect your faith in God, and they're very unlikely to desire to have a relationship with the Lord. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. We're not just here just floating along in life. We're here to reach the lost with Jesus, for Jesus Christ. Amen? Come on, say it one more time. Thank you. There we go. That's a little bit better. Good. Good reputation. So let's flip that around. If you have a good reputation, what's going to happen? People are probably going to be more likely to respect your faith. Can anybody say yes? I agree with that? Yes. Okay, good. Let's continue here. Next slide. What is it? Let's all say it together. Without possible to please God. Cannot please God without faith. This guy, the centurion, had great faith, Jesus said. So what's next? Number four. He was generous. Ooh, now we're stepping on some toes a little bit here. Verse 5 of chapter 7. So these Jewish leaders talk to Jesus about the centurion, says, and they say, he loves our nation, and he is the one who built us, what? Our synagogue. This Roman soldier, folks, a military guy who's supposed to be calloused, nothing affects him. He's not very sensitive. He took time to lead, and he gave money to build a church for the Jewish people. I'd like to see one of our government leaders doing that today, huh? He was generous. Think about it. This guy did not have anything. He didn't have to do anything for the Jews. But he built them a church building. A lot of money. A lot of money he gave. What did Jesus say? Help me with this. Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God or get into heaven. You show me somebody who's greedy and keeps or hoards their money to themselves, and I'll show you a person who lacks faith. Without faith, it is not possible to please God. Why has it worked that way? Because for some reason, us as human beings, we have this notion or thinking that if we have enough money, we are safe. Life is in our little box and we're comfortable. And we don't need much else. We don't really need to depend on the Lord because we have enough money. When we become too focused on money, we lose our focus on God. What did Jesus also say? He says in Matthew, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The things that you like and that you enjoy doing, that's what's going to control your life, okay? What did Paul say to Timothy? The love of money is the root of all evil. This guy was unique. This centurion, he was different. He wasn't the normal Roman centurion. What was different about him? His great faith in Jesus as the promised Messiah. And that controlled his lifestyle, his living. He didn't worry about what other people were thinking. It allowed him to be respected because people respect good. Let's continue. Number 5. He was humble. So let's look at verse 6 of Luke. So Jesus went with them, these Jewish leaders. When he was not far from the house, the centurion did what? Sent friends to Jesus, saying, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Verse 7, first part. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you. Okay? What's he saying? I'm not worthy to have you come to my house, Jesus. That's why I didn't even want to come to you in the first place. He did not consider himself worthy. He was focused. What was he focused on, folks? He was focused on Jesus healing his servant. He was not focused about himself. He didn't want to be involved with this situation. He wanted to be removed. He just wanted Jesus to heal his servant. He was humble. One of the things I like about this church here is that there are a lot of, this is a vague word, but you'll understand. There's a lot of good people in this church. I really respect. There's some great people. And there's a lot of people that do things behind the scenes in this church that people don't know about. And I haven't been here as long as a lot of you, but I've seen some things going on throughout the week. It's like, wow, I didn't know that person did that. Wow, what a great heart that person has. That they're doing. I never would have known that that gets done by that person. Things that we take for granted. And these people, are they looking for a praise? Are they looking for a reward? No. Why are they doing it? To serve Jesus. To lift Jesus up, right? Now, we have a balancing scale, folks. When you do things so that other people will see you, and you want to, you might not come out, you probably won't come out and say this, but you want people to see you. Jesus says, you'll have your reward. So here's what happens, okay? You're going to get praised. You're going to get honored. It's a balancing scale. As you go up, what do you think's on this side? Jesus. Whereas if you do things quietly and humbly, you don't care about yourself, you get removed from the situation, what happens? Jesus gets honored. Jesus gets praised. Jesus gets the glory. It's a balancing scale. We have to be humble. We have to be humble. It's a balancing scale. When you compromise your testimony in front of other people, who are you serving? See, there's only two choices on the shelf. I heard this many years ago. It stuck with me. There's only two choices on the self, on the shelf. Pleasing God or pleasing self. Two choices, pleasing God, pleasing yourself. You can't, Jesus said, nobody can serve two masters. You're going to hate the one and love the other. You can't do both. What does it take for you to be humble and drop yourself down and remove yourself from the situation so that Jesus gets honored and glorified? Faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let's continue with the next one. Number six. This is great. This is good stuff here. He believed in Christ's word. Luke 7, verse 7. He says, so this is why I didn't come to you, Jesus, but what does he say? Say the word and let my servant be healed. Jesus, just say the word and my servant will be healed. Jesus, that's good enough for me. Now, here is something that is really amazing. Did Jesus and this man actually meet? No. No. This man sent people to represent him, right? He sent the Jewish leaders first, and then once he heard that Jesus was coming to his house, he sent his friends and said, don't tell Jesus to come. I'm not worthy for Jesus to come to my house. Tell him just to say the word, and that'll be good enough for me. I'll know that my servant's going to be healed. Once Jesus says the word, it's good enough for me. The man believed that if Jesus spoke it, the miracle would happen. He believed that the disease would obey Jesus the way a soldier obeyed his officer. You follow that? That's faith. That's faith. So let's bring this to our life today, here, modern day. Do we have Christ's spoken word? Does Christ speak to us today? Some people will say, oh, he spoke to me last night in a dream. Okay, whatever. That's possible, but what do we have? So a question is this good enough for you? Is this as good as Jesus' spoken word? Because this is what he gave us to live our lives today. This is everything we need to live a life of godliness. And if we're not jumping into this book, God's word, God's letter to us, if we're not taking time to saturate ourselves, we're not going to have strong faith. What's the next slide, please? Let's read it together. So faith comes through and hearing through the word of Christ. How do you get faith? The word of God. Well, you might have heard people say, I went through a real difficult time a couple years ago, and after I got through that, I just felt like my faith was stronger than ever. Oh, okay. Yeah, trials can do that. Trials can make you feel like you're closer to the Lord. And yes, that's the case. But what does the Bible say? Faith comes through the Bible. Do you believe, or do you have faith enough that you want to spend quality time in God's word? You cannot have real faith, you cannot have real life faith without spending time in the Bible and letting it saturate your heart and your mind and renewing your mind. There's no other way to have great faith like this centurion guy, except through the word of God. Let's continue. Finally, he understood the system. Now this might be a little bit of a stretch, but I think it's really, really a neat revelation here. Look in verse 8. This is a centurion talking. Now keep in mind, he's talking through somebody, right? He's talking through a third party. His friends. The centurion's friends are telling this to Jesus. And so these people are telling Jesus, they say, "For I too," look at verse 8, I the centurion, am a man set under authority with soldiers under me. I say to one, go, he goes, to another, come, and he comes. Another servant, do this, and he does it. Now, first of all, when I read this, I'm thinking, why is this? Why did both Matthew and Luke include this verse in the Bible? Why is that important that we would need to know this in the situation? Well, the King James Version, which I grew up on, so I'm kind of used to, it adds a very important word. And King James says verse 8 this way, "For I also," I don't think the NIV says this, the ESV says, "For I too," T-O-O. So that changes things a little bit, doesn't it, folks? So basically what this centurion is saying is, Jesus, I know how this military system works. He understood the military system. He believed because he understood. He understood how he's under people. He is over 100 men, but yet this centurion is still answers to somebody higher than him. And here is the clincher. I also believe that this guy understood the faith system. Because I believe that this guy understood Jesus' place on earth at that time. Follow here, okay? Jesus came to earth, why? To save us, to redeem us from our sins, correct? Okay? Jesus has all power and all authority from... You see a similarity? This centurion says, Jesus, I understand the system. I know that in the military world, I can command guys and tell them to do whatever I want, but yet I still answer to somebody higher. Jesus, I know, I understand what it's like because, Jesus, I believe that you are also sent by God the Father for his plan. You follow that? Jesus says, I believe... The centurion says, Jesus, I believe in you. I know why you're here. I believe in you as you are the Messiah. You are the one who's going to save me from my sins. You're going to save my servant from my sins. I believe that you're going to heal him also. But I believe that Jesus, he says, in the same way, catch this, in the same way I sent people to ask you to heal my servant, I know you are sent by God, and I believe in you as the promised Messiah. Think about it this way. His world, his system, he's the centurion, he's got guys underneath him, he answers to somebody above him. His little world is kind of like a microcosm of God's plan. Okay? That makes sense? So, he understood the system. Without faith, it's not possible to please God. You need to know where you are and why you're here on this earth, right? We're here, why? Just to love the Lord, to serve him, to bring glory to his name. Jesus said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men to me. Okay? If you're not humble, you're going to be lifted up. Jesus will be brought down. If you humble yourself before God, you're going to be brought down. And you don't care about it because you love it. Because why? Because Jesus is being lifted up and Jesus is being honored. This guy was also generous. He didn't care about his money. He had faith in God. He was courageous. Do you need to step out on faith in some area of your life? He believed Jesus' word. Jesus, just say the word, and that's good enough for me. When you read this Bible, do you read it? And say, ooh, wow, I never knew that. I guess I better do it. That's good enough for me. Great faith. This guy had great faith. He didn't care about what others thought. He didn't care about his peers. His priority was his servant. He had compassion. There's a little video clip I want to show you. And this might be more, you might be able to identify this explanation of faith. So go ahead so you can get that going.